Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Kuf. We left off on Daf Tzadi Tesem Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Tesem Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and L'Zeich Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom, the Neshama Shevin Aliyah. And we thank him for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. Today, what we're going to discuss is the following. Yesterday, we spoke about that when an almana is selling the Nichsei Yisomim, and she makes a mistake, so how we view that mistake. Do we assume that the whole sale is void? Now the Mishnah is going to discuss, what if Beis Din is the one selling the Nichsei Yisomim, and they make a pricing mistake? What are the rules in terms of Ona'ah when it comes to Beis Din? Then the Gemara is going to discuss, well, if we have a Mishnah about an Almana making a mistake, and we have a Mishnah about Beis Din making a mistake, what's the status of a Shaliach that makes a mistake? Does he have the rules of an Almana, or does he have the rules of Beis Din? And the Gemara is going to give Svaras each way to say why a Shaliach should be more like an Almana that makes a mistake, or why a Shaliach should be more like a Beis Din that makes a mistake. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether we paskin like the svara that we're going to see in the Mishnah of im kein makoach Beis Din Yafa, that if we don't give Beis Din more rights to have their transactions stand, then what's the point of having Beis Din in the first place? That we need to have it that when Beis Din does something, that it has more power to it. So the Gemara is going to assess when we apply such a svara of im kein makoach Beis Din Yafa. The Gemara is then going to tell us that the what exactly the chiddush is when we say that both when an almana and when Beis Din sells karka, that the achrayus is on the yisomim, that if the person who bought that karka then gets it confiscated from them because it turns out that the yisomim were owed money to somebody else or so, or had stolen it or something like that, that the yisomim are going to be the ones on the hook for it, not the almana, not the Beis Din that did the mechira. So isn't that obvious? The Gemara is going to discuss what the chiddush of that is. Then on Kuf Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the limits of the Svara of Im Kein Makoach Beis Din Yafa. Meaning it's true, we need to give Beis Din more power than we give a typical person, because after all, they are Beis Din. But what are the limits? How badly can they be off? And we're still going to say that Im Kein Makoach Beis Din Yafa. Like how badly can they misprice something? And we're going to say, oh, that's the price, because that's what Beis Din said. Or if, let's say, Beis Din just decided to sell Karka without doing a Hachraza, without announcing anything in advance. So we're going to say that, oh, im kein makoach Beis Din Yafa, such a terrible error, a tab dvar mishnah like that, you're still going to say im kein makoach Beis Din Yafa? Then the Gemara is going to have three different explanations as to why the reisha of the mishnah assumes that the sale is going to be valid even if Beis Din didn't do a hachraza. That even in a case where Beis Din forgot to do a hachraza, there's one part of the mishnah that assumes that as long as they got the price more or less right, the sale is going to be valid. Why would that be true? After all, isn't that a terrible mistake not to do a hachraza? So the Gemara is going to have three different explanations for that line in the Mishnah. So let's begin with the Mishnah. So a little bit of background over here. We know that our Mishnah is going to talk about, as we said, a Beis Din that makes a mistake. There's a whole discussion in the Rishonim Achronim. What do you mean a Beis Din that makes a mistake? How are we ever going to know that Beis Din made a mistake? What, another Beis Din is going to come and say that they made a mistake? How do I know the second Beis Din is right and not the first Beis Din? Okay, but let's assume somehow we know that Beis Din made a mistake in pricing. So we have to know what the normal rules of mistakes in pricing are to then apply, you know, to then appreciate the difference when Beis Din makes a mistake. So what are the normal rules? So the Mishnah, the Braisa tells us in Maseches Bava Metzia and Daf Nun that Ona'a Pachos Mishtus Nikna Mekach. Yeser al Shtus Batal Mekach. Shtus Kano Machzer Ona'a. That there are three levels of mispricing. That if the mispricing is by less than 1/6 of the price, then we assume the sale is binding, nothing has to be corrected, you just leave it as is, people are mochel on such a minor mistake. If the mistake is by more than 1/6, then the cheated party can say, I want to void the sale, I want my money back, or I want to give you back your money, I want to void the sale. If it's exactly a shtus, then the halacha is kana u'machzir ona'a. The sale is still binding, but the party that benefited from the mispricing has to reimburse the other party of the difference between what the price should have been and what the price actually was. Now that is the normal din of ona'a. However, none of these dinim of ona'a apply to mechiras karka. Ein ona'a lekarkos. When it comes to karka, there's generally not going to be a ona'a, and we're going to see when it comes to beis din, maybe there's ona'a by karkaos as well. That there are dinim of bitul mekach when it comes to someone selling something b'shlichus of somebody else. Now, Maseches Arach and Daf Chav Aleph, we learn a rule that once, whenever Beis Din has to assess a karka, they do what's called a hachraza, that they make a big announcement that this karka is going to be sold. Anyone who wants to buy it can come buy it, and then they start fielding offers. So that hachraza is what we call an igeres bikores, to really examine the karka, that it's an igeres, it's something that's sent out for people to come and examine the karka and see what it's worth, and that's how Beis Din assesses the value of the karka. So now, says our Mishnah, Shuma Dayanim, Dayanim that assess Nechasim, whether it be Metaltalin or even if it's karka, but they make an assessment in order to collect from the Nechasim of the Love, the Chov of the Malvo, or to collect from the Nechasim of the Yisomim, the Ksuba of the woman who needs to collect her Ksuba. And they made a mistake in their assessment by 1/6, so they're off, they either made a price too low or too high by 1/6 of what it should have been sold for. So mechron batel, the mechron is batel even if it was karka. So you would think that by karka, the mechra is not going to be batel, because they don't know about karkos. No, even if it's karka, the Rishonim ask, the Rush and the Ramban and the Ran ask, that I understand when Beis Din sells it for too cheap a price, that the mechra is going to be batel, because they are the shaliach of the Yisomim, meaning even though normally Eino Na'a Bekarkaos, yeah, but you're my shliach, so you're not my shliach to do something that's not to my benefit. So they are the shliach of the Yisomim. So I understand if they did bad by the Yisomim, they got the Yisomim the raw end of the deal, we're going to say, look, that's not a shlichus, that's they didn't fulfill their shlichus. But what if they did better by the Yisomim? The party that came out on the raw, with the raw end of the deal was the lokeach. The Lokeach didn't make Beis Din a Shliach. The Lokeach bought the land himself. And Eino Na'a LeKarkaos. There was no Shlichus over there. So why would we assume that if they're off even on that side of things, that the Mecher is going to be Batal? I would think they did their Shlichus. The Lokeach was working for himself. Eino Na'a LeKarkaos. Then the sale should be binding. So the Rishonim struggle with this, and they have two basic Mahalchim. One Mahalich is that just like if the Bala Karka was the cheated party, the Mecher is going to be Batal, when Beis Din is doing the sale, so too it has to be that there's symmetry, that when the Lokeach is the one that is cheated, that it has to be that the Mecher is batal. So the Ran quotes such a teretz in the name of Tosos, and the Ran elaborates, and he says, because if you're going to say that when the Lokeach is cheated by Beis Din selling something, that the Mecher is not going to be batal, no one is ever going to want to buy anything from Beis Din, because it's a one-sided, if there's no symmetry in terms of how the rules are going to play out, and that you're always going to get the advantage, and I'm always going to be disadvantaged, that if I cheat you, then the whole thing is void. But you cheat me and everything is fine. So no one's going to want to do business like that. So in order to promote based on being able to sell, so that's one possibility in Rishonim. The other possibility is that the Mishnah is talking about a case where Beis Din set a price and they couldn't find anyone who was willing to buy the karka for the price that they set, only people who are willing to buy it for cheaper. But Beis Din forced the Malva to be mekabel the karka at a higher price than that they were koveya. And then it turns out that they made a mistake. So the Malva could be machzir the karka and ask for his money back. So that's how the Ramban writes to address the issue, that Beis Din sort of forced their mistake on other people. But okay, so anyway, the Tanakama holds that when Beis Din makes an assessment and they're off in their assessment and they're selling the karka for the Yisomim in order to pay back the Almana, the Mecher is going to be batel, as long as they're off by 1/6. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mechron Kayim. No, the sale is going to be valid, because Im Kain, if you're going to say that the Mecher is batel, Ma Koach Beis Din Yafa, in what way did you give Beis Din any more Koach than you give anybody else, than you give Stam B'nei Adam that sell karka? Avlimasu Igeres Bikores B'neim, but says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel,
But if Beis Din assessed the nechasim at a certain price, and then they announced that the karka is for sale, and anyone who wants to come buy it can come and make an offer, then afilu machru shav amana b'masayim, or shav masayim amana, then even if they were way off in the pricing, mechron kayim, the sale is going to be binding. And the reason is, if they did a hachraza, that's not called ona'a, because a lot of people came to look at the karka, and that must be the proper assessment. That's how you evaluate what the assessment is. So even though it seems way off, it's not really way off if they made any geres bikores. An igeres bikores, again, is this public proclamation that everyone should come and buy the take a look at the land. Rashi writes in Dibra Maskul igeres bikores hachraza v'loshen bikores shemavakros of bnei adam al yedei hachraza, that people will come examine it because of the hachraza. Tos Yomtov writes that anyone who buys or decides to buy buy land, it's wants people to read the shtar in order that everyone will know that it was done with precision, that the sale is done with precision. So it shouldn't be an embarrassment, because since the mecher is not being done by the bailim themselves, and there's makan to be choshesh that there's going to be that you'll get a bad reputation, that you're taking advantage of yisomim who are unable to speak for themselves. So it's much better that the shtar is read out loud to everybody, that it should be total transparency in terms of what the deal was when you bought this karka from the Beis Din. Because otherwise people are going to say, as we'll soon see in the daf, that there's such a svara that it could ruin a person's reputation. That yeah, every time you yisomim need to sell something and they can't speak for themselves, you just swoop in and try to take advantage of the situation. So you want total transparency. So igeres means it's read publicly. Let everybody know exactly what the deal is and what the price is. So he writes that that's why it's called an igeres, because an igeres is something that is that is opened and not closed. He says that's what the poskim write in the name of Rav Haigon, that Kriyas HaMegillah, it's poshta ki igeres, it's not krucha kesefer Torah. That when you read the Megillah, you leave it open, you fold it over in a few places we normally, and but not like a sefer Torah, which is all wrapped around itself, where you can't see any of the ksav of the sefer Torah. That's what igeres. It's a nature of an igeres. The igeres might also be quotes over here in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta from the Nefesh Chayon, Simin Tafir Sadi Beis, that igeres is Meloshon Oger Bekayitz, that it means a gathering, that Hachrasas Beis Din is done in Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos, where people gather. So Megillas Esther is also called an igeres, because that's a Barov Amhadras Melech. It's where there's a gathering of the entire community to be able to read it together. So igeres has that double mashmaos. It means that it's open for all to see, and it's done in a very public setting where there's a large gathering of people. Okay, so now that we've learned the two Mishnayos, one Mishnah where we said that an almana who sells something for cheap, even if it's just off by a little bit, the mecher is going to be batel because she's selling the yisomim stuff. She's acting as the shliach of the yisomim, so if she misprices it to their disadvantage, then she's not really serving as their shliach. And Beis Din has a different rule, that up until 1/6 of a misprice, the mecher is going to be kayam, and it's only if it's a sixth or more that the mecher is going to be batel. So Gemara says, okay, now I know the rule by an almana, I know the rule by a Beis Din, ibayilu, shliach, keman. What if a person makes a shliach to sell his karka for him, and he makes a mistake, the shliach makes a mistake in the assessment of the karka and the value of the karka? Do we treat that like an almana, where even the most minor mistake will void the whole sale? Or do you treat that like dayanim of a Beis Din, where up until 1/6 the sale will still be binding? So Rava Amar Rav Nachman, Rava says the name Rav Nachman, shliach kedayanim, that the shliach has the din of the dayanim, that if the mistake is less than 1/6, the sale is still going to be binding. Now the mishaleach could say to the shliach, l'tkuni shidatich v'lo la'avusi, you know, look, I sent you to do something good for me, not to do something bad for me, and therefore I'm not mochel on the mistake that you made. So the kona would have to return to the mishalech the shear of the ona'a. That's the way the Rishonim understand. That's how Tosos understands Shitas Rashi, that the mecher is going to be kayim, but you still have to make up for the difference, because Rashi explained the machlokas about a regular shliach, not a shliach of dayanim or anything like that. That's what the Gemara is talking about, just a regular shliach. So Tosos was bothered. How could Rava say in the name of Nachman, if it's a regular shliach, that the shliach has a status of dayanim, that up until 1/6 the mecher is kayam. Rav Nachman himself said in yesterday's daf that a shliach that makes a mistake and sells things for too cheap, the mecher is going to be batel. So because of the tikkuni shtatich of lalavusi. So if you're going to learn like Rashi, that the Gemara is just talking about a regular shaliach over here, how did Rav Nachman do an about face since yesterday's daf? In yesterday's daf, Rav Nachman was one that was saying that even the most minor mistake, the whole thing, the whole shlichus is void. And over here he's saying it's going to work. Also, Maseches Kiddushin daf membeis, Rav Nachman says that if a shliach makes a mistake, even on less than 1/6, the mishaleach can say l'tikkuni shtatich of lalavusi. And therefore, Tosos explains within Shitas Rashi that Rav Nachman said previously that the mecher is batal when the shliach makes a mistake. That's a mistake of 1/6 or more, just like by Dayanim, that 1/6 or more the mecher is batal. But a mistake of less than 1/6, the mecher is kayam. Aye, but didn't Rav Nachman say that even by less than 1/6 he could say l'tkuni shedarticha v'lo l'avusi, I sent you to do something beneficial? Yeah, he can make such a taina, but it's not going to avoid the sale. He's just going to have to be reimbursed. And that's what we're saying over here, that the mecher is kayim, according to Rav Nachman, you're just going to get reimbursed for the mistake. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna amar Rav Nachman ka'almana. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna, however, quotes Rav Nachman as saying that no, the shliach has a din of an almana, that if the mistake is even by less than 1/6, then the mecher is going to be batal. So two different versions of what Rav Nachman holds as far as, at least the way Rashi says, as far as a regular shliach to sell karka. Does he have the din of a bezin where if the mistake is by less than 1/6, the mecher is kayam? Or does he have a din of an almana where the mistake is less than 1/6, the mecher is batal? So each one explains their opinion. Rava, Rav Nachman shliach kadayanim. Rava says he has the same din as the dayanim. Why? Ma dayanim lav liditu. Just like when dayanim, when they're selling, they're not selling for themselves. Av shliach nami lav lididei. So to the shliach, he doesn't get the proceeds of the sale. The proceeds of the sale go to the mishale. Just like the Dayanim don't keep the proceeds of the sale. When Dayanim are selling the karka of Yisomim, they're doing it so that they could pay back the person who's owed money, or so that they could pay back the Almana. They're not keeping the proceeds of the sale. Lafuk Almana de Ledida, as opposed to an Almana where she's keeping the proceeds of the sale. And that's why if she's off even by a little bit, the Mecher is going to be batal. So Sarit explains that by an Almana, since she's selling in order to keep the money for herself, the Chum made a Knas to be Mevatal the Mekach, even when she makes very minor mistakes, so that she will be very precise in the sale. But a shliach who's like Dayanim, that don't keep it for themselves, there's no reason to make a knas that even on very minor mistakes that the sale is not going to be binding, because they have no self-interest over here. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna amar Rav Nachman ka'almana. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna explains his opinion that a shliach has the same status like an almana, that even a minor mistake the sale is void, because ma almana yechida, the shliach is like an almana in that they are individual people that are selling karka. So av shliach yachid lafuke based into rabim ninu, as opposed to dayanim, that's a whole group of people. V'hilchasa shliach kalmana. We pass like Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna's shita in the name of Rav Nachman, meaning the second shita, that a shliach is like an almana, and even a minor mistake the mecher is going to be batal. So ask the Gemara, okay, you're going to tell me shliach is like an almana, and even on a minor mistake, the mecher is going to be batal? Why should that be any different than a shliach to be mafresh truma, who makes a mistake? Where he said, Omer shluchot say trum, like we learned yesterday, if you tell the shliach, do me a favor, go take some, go be mafresh my truma for me, torim kedas balabayis. The shliach, to take the truma, has to make an assessment of how much truma the balabayis would be willing to give, because truma is not a set amount like maaser, where it's exactly 10%. Truma is variable. It could depend on the person, whether he wants to give 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, or even chita achas is poteris is kalakri. So he has to assess the das balabais. V'meini yodea daitu shel balabais, and if he doesn't know what the thought process of that balabais is, so torim bebenin is echon mechamishim. Assume the average, which is 2%. But if the shliach went and he took 1/40th for truma, or he took 1/60th for truma, truma so truma, the truma is still binding. Because even if it turned out that the balabais normally does not give the amount that the shliach was mafresh, the truma is still binding. Why? Because truma ba'ein yafa or ra'a is something that people commonly make a mistake about. So the shliach who sold it for a cheaper price and made a mistake by a shliach who sold something for a cheaper price and made a minor mistake by less than 1/6, it also shouldn't be mevatel the mecher, because it was the kind of mistake that people commonly make. So that's what the Gemara is asking. How can we say that the halach is that a shliach is like an almana, where even the most minor mistake that people commonly make is going to void the sale by truma? When you make a very minor mistake, you do 1/40th instead of 1/50th, you do 1/60th instead of 1/50th, that we said it's fine, truma so truma, it's still going to be binding. Why? Because it's a kind of minor mistake that people make that's understandable. So why should it be different by truma than it is when it comes to a shliach that's selling a field? So says Gemara, no, there's a big difference. Hasam kiven dikat detarim by ra'a vikat detarim by nyafa amalei lahachim atich, that we don't view the truma case as a mistake, meaning when he assessed the guy at someone who would give 1/40th and he overrated the person's generosity, or he assessed the guy at giving 1/60th and he underrated the person's generosity, that's not a mistake. That's a normal thing that people do. So meaning that's a normal amount that people give. If he decided he was going to give 1/80th, so that would be a mistake, because that's not a normal thing that people do. But he did within the range of normal, and as long as it's within the range of normal, we don't consider that a mistake, and that's why the truma is still binding. But over here, he mispriced the karka. The shliach got the wrong price for the karka by a little bit, but still. So amalei lo yibayuch l'miti. So the balabais could say to the shliach, I don't need, you shouldn't have made such a mistake. You made an actual mistake, and therefore you're not really my shliach. The mecher is going to be batel. So now the Gemara brings a psak halacha in the machlokas we had in the Mishnah. Meaning, what was the case in the Mishnah? Going back to the Mishnah, we were talking about not a shliach, not an almana. We were talking about when Beis Din sells something. So we said when Beis Din sells something, the Chachamim had said that Shuma Dayanin, if they're off by a sixth or more, the mecher is batel. But Mishum Gamliel says, what are you talking about? Makoch Beis Din, Kain Makoch Beis Din Yafa. The mecher has to be kayim because it's Beis Din, and you need to give extra power to Beis Din. Some Rav Huna Bar Chanina, Rav Nachman, Halacha K'divrei Chachamim. We pass like the Chachamim that if they're off by a sixth, even though it's Beis Din, the mecher is going to be batel. Not like the svar of Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Vim Kain Makoch Beis Din Yafa. So says Gemara, really? We don't pass like the svara? Avim kein makoch bezin yafa v'lesle l'Rav Nachman makoch bezin yafa. Does Rav Nachman not hold of such a svara that bezin has to be empowered to do more than regular people are able to do? But v'amar Rav Nachman omar Shmuel, isn't Rav Nachman the one that said in the name of Shmuel yisam shabal lachlok b'nichse avien, that if yisam come to divide their father's estate, bezin ma'amidin an apotropos, bezin will appoint an apotropos ubarlem chelik yafa, and each person's represented. Each Yaslam's representative will try to make sure that they get a fair, fair deal in the division of the estate. But higdilu yuchalu nimchos, when the kids get older and they're not happy with what they got, they're able to make a macha and they're able to reassess the whole division of the estate. Rav Nachman didei amar, but Rav Nachman himself said higdilu ein yuchalu nimchos, that when the kids get older, too late. The apotropos was there; he got you the best deal available. You're not allowed to call it into question later. Why? Because because if you could always question the assessment of the apotropos, well then what strength did we give to Beis Din by allowing them to appoint an apotropos? If those apotropos have no power and everything that they do could be called into question later. So here you see Rav Nachman himself holds of such a svara of imkein makoch Beis Din Yafa when it comes to a Yerusha. So how come when it comes to Beis Din selling karka, Rav Nachman doesn't paskin like Rav Shmuel Gamliel, doesn't paskin like the svara of imkein makoch? So says Marlo Kasha. Hadetaum. That over here, when Rav Nachman passes like the Chachamim, it's where Beis Din made a mistake. And ha, delo ta'u, by the case of the division of the Yerusha through apotropsim, the apotropsim didn't make a mistake. They divided the estate evenly and fairly between the two Yisomim. So it wasn't an actual mistake. So says Gemara, well, wait a second, need delo ta'u, but ma'ichal nimchos. But if the apotropsim didn't make a mistake, what does that even mean, that the children, when they grow up, are going to have tainas, I don't like this, this wasn't fair, this not, if they didn't make a mistake and it was an actual even division of the estate, what kind of tainas could they have? So says Gemara, Baruchos, people all sorts of taimas. They could have taimas. I didn't want the property in that neighborhood. I live closer to that neighborhood. You know, whatever. They could come. Not that there was a mistake in terms of the assessment. That they would have preferred if the estate was divided differently. So that's what Rav Nachman does hold im kein makach bezin yafa, but only where the Beis Din or the representatives of Beis Din didn't actually make a mistake. When they did make a mistake, then he's not going to say im kein makach bezin yafa. Beis Din's not authorized to make mistakes. So says Mar Kiyos Rav Dimi Amar. Rav Dimi told over the following story that Maisa va'asar Rabbi Kedivrei Chachamim, that Beis Din evaluated the chasim and they were off in their evaluation by a sixth, and Rabbi Paskin like the Chachamim where he was mevatel the mecher. So Amar Lefan of Prata Benoshel Rabbi Lazar ben Prata. So Prata, who was apparently named after his grandfather, who was the son of Rabbi Lazar ben Prata, who was called Rabbi Prata Hagadol. So Ben Benoshel Rabbi Prata Hagadol, meaning he was therefore the grandson of Rabbi Prata Hagadol, im kein makach bezin yafa, where he tainud, what do you mean? How can you say that the mecher is going to be batel when Beis Din made a mistake? Im kein ma, he came with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's taina. So the hefse Rabbi Asamaisa. So Rabbi said, you know what? You're right. We have to pass on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And he changed his mind. He changed the pasak. Rav Dimi Masniyachi. Rav Dimi had a different version of that story. Rav Dimi had that version of the story that we just told. But Rav Safra Masniyachi. Rav Safra had a different version of the story. That Maisu Bikish Rabbi Lasus Kidivei Chachamim. That Rabbi was about to pass on the Chachamim. Not that he already paskined like the Chachamim, that he was already Mevatel the Mekach. But there was a mistake made by the Beis Din, and Rabbi was about to paskin like the Chachamim that there's going to be a Bittel Mekach. And before he had a chance to do it, that's when Omer Lefan of Prata Ben Oshar Belazar Ben Prata Ben Oshar Prata Agadol Im Kei Makach Beis Din Yafa. That's when Rabbi Prata came and said, but wait a second, what happened to Rabbi Shungum Liel Svara? And Lo Asa Rabbi as Hamaisa. And because of that, Rabbi didn't paskin like the Rabbanan, he paskin like Rabbi Shungum Liel. So the two versions of the story is that either Rebbe had already passed like the Chachamim and he reversed the Pesach, or that he was about to pass like the Chachamim and then he avoided making the mistake of doing so when Rabbi Prata reminded him of Im Kein Makach Bezin Yafa. So what's the machlokas between these two versions of the story? So Lema Bahakamiflagi, Mar Savar Tal B'dvar Mishnah Chozer, Mar Savar Eino Chozer. That Rebbe, if he was going to pass like the Chachamim, would have been considered a Toa B'dvar Mishnah, which is a remarkable Chiddush, that's called the Toa B'dvar Mishnah. He's passing like a shita in the Mishnah that exists and is true, but it's considered a Toa B'dvar Mishnah to not paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, because since Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel gives a svara of makach bezin yafa, so that svara carries the day, and to ignore that svara would be considered a Toa B'dvar Mishnah, would be considered a mistake about something that's explicit. So version number one of the story is that when you're Toa B'dvar Mishnah, even if you already paskin, chozer. You reverse the psak. Version number two of the story is, no, I don't know if he would have done that, but before the psak actually comes out, it influences the psak, but it doesn't change the psak after it's already made. So it says, Marlo, that's not what they're arguing about. Of course, if you're Tobit Var Mishnah, you have to have integrity. If you made a psak and you were Tobit Var Mishnah, you missed something that's totally explicit, of course it has to be Choser. What are the two versions of the story disagreeing about? They're just disagreeing about what happened. What was the story? Had Rebbe already made the Pesach, or was he on his way toward making that Pesach? It's interesting that the Gemara emphasizes the name of this Rabbi Prata, that he's Rabbi Prata, the son of Rabbi Lazar ben Prata. Oh, and you should realize that he's the grandson of Rabbi Prata Agadol. There's a medrash that tells us that the Rishonim, since they always knew their Yichus, they would always name Rishonim, meaning earlier, way earlier generations, they would name their children after events that happened, after circumstances of the birth or what was going on in the world at the time of the birth. You know, they had like some sort of that's how they would name their children. But we, says the Medrash, who don't know our own yichus, we need to, in order to remember our yichus, so we name after family members as a way of maintaining a sense of yichus. Every time, like I meet someone, my wife's maiden name is Gourds, as everybody here knows, and every time I meet someone named Gourds, they always say, are you related? I say, well, do you have Yonas and Henochs in the family? And the answer is always yes. And the answer is, yeah, you're probably 12th cousin or something, right? Meaning that you know, that's how you figure out the Yichus, because it's all the same names that you're using that reminds a person of the Yichus. But you see that this goes way, way back, meaning this practice of naming after family members. You find it in the Gemara all the time that Rabbi Gamliel was the son of Rabbi Shimon. There was Shimon ben Gamliel, ben Shimon ben Gamliel, right? It goes up several generations where each one was named after the grandfather. Now, whether that's a statement about whether the Ashkenazi practice is correct to name after a deceased person or the Sephardic practice is correct to name after a living person, okay, I don't know how, if they all met their grandfathers or not, but that they name after family members, that seems to be an old Jewish practice that goes back to the times of the Tanaim at least. But prior to those times, we assume that parents had a certain level of Ruach HaKodesh in being able to name their children just based on events that that surrounded the child's birth. Every once in a while you have something that's so major around the time of the child's birth that we assume that parents are so inspired that it's appropriate, you know, to name after such an event. One of my rabbis, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, was born in 1967, and his parents were so taken by what was happening in 1967 that you know, Yerushalayim Biyadenu, Hakotel Biyadenu, that they named him Yisrael Yair. Okay, now that's a name you carry with you for the rest of your life. That tells you about you know, the circumstance of the birth. But typically speaking, we always try to name after family members. So says Gemara. Right now, there is this din called achrayus, that if you sell karka, and then the person who bought the karka gets it confiscated from them because it turned out to be stolen, it turned out that you owed money to somebody, so then there's achrayus nechasim. So what happens when an almana sells the karka of the yisomim, or bezin sells the karka of the yisomim? Who's on the hook for that achrayus? Amar Rav Yosef Armalta dezabne achrayus ayasmi. If an almana sells, the yisomim have the achrayus. Beidina dezabin achrayus ayasmi. When bezin sells, the yisomim have the achrayus. So pshita. So isn't that obvious? Says Mar. Yeah, almana lo itzrichalei. It's obvious that when an almana sells karka of yisomim, that the yisomim are the ones on the hook for the achrayus. But the chiddush is bezin. Ki itzrichalei beidina. Mal detema, one might have thought, called the zavn beidina, that anyone who's buying something through a bezin, a daitel mebikle kalahu the zavn, is confident that since bezin is being machris, that this karka they're announcing in all the shuls and it's very, made very public, that anyone who has any tainas would have come and made a taina. Anyone who says, no, that's my karka, should have come then, and if no one came at that point, then it must be that this karka is clean, and the person buying the karka is therefore buying it without achrayus, because he's confident enough, he doesn't need achrayus, doesn't need a guarantee. So kamash milan, that's why he comes to tell me a chiddush, know that there is achrayus, and the achrayus is on the yisomim. Then we have said in the Mishnah, that Rishum Gamliel Omer, Rishum Gamliel says that if Beis Din makes a mistake in their assessment of the karka, the mecher is kayam, because imkein makoach Beis Din yafa. What are the limits of that? How bad of a mistake can Beis Din make? And Rav Shimon Gamliel is still going to say, well, they're Beis Din, you got to give them koach. So Rav Sheshes ad palga, up until one half of the value. Tiny Nam Yochan Rav Shimon Gamliel, Beis Din Shemach Roshav Masayim B'mana, Roshav Mana B'Masayim, Mechlin Kayim. Notice the example Rav Shimon Gamliel gave was that they sold the $200 piece of property for $100 or $100 piece of property for $200. It did not give the example, of they sold a dollar property for $1 million. Or $1 million property for a dollar, because that we would not go that far and say Imkein Makoach Bezin Yafa. So what if Bezin didn't made a different kind of mistake, not in the assessment of the value, but in not doing any geres bikores, in not putting out there that this property was for sale? So Amar Mem Shved Rav Yosef Bezin Shemachru Below Achraza. If they didn't make a proper announcement, Nasu Kamisha Tov B'Dvar Mishnah B'Chosrin, that's considered a Bezin that's Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, and they could be, the whole mecher is going to be batel. So Nasu, what do you mean? It says if they were Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, Vaday Ta'u. That's the very definition of Torah B'Dvar Mishnah. That it's a Beferish Mishnah. They're supposed to do that. They're supposed to make Achraza. Ditnan, the Mishnah says in Maseches Arachin, Shumay Yisomim Shloshim Yom. That when Beis Din is selling karka on behalf of Yisomim, it's got to be a 30-day process of assessing the value of the karka. Veshumay Hegdish Yishim Yom. And when a Gizbar of Hegdish is selling karka that belongs to Hegdish, you need a 60-day Achraza. Umachrizin Baboker Be'erev. And you do the Achraza twice daily. In the morning, when the poelim go out to work in the field, so that if the balabais wants the field, the basin is machriz on, he could ask the poelim to go check out the field for him and see what it looks like. And then they again in the evening, when the poelim come back from the field, so that through the hachraza, the balabais will remember to follow up with the poelim and say, oh, what did the field look like today? Did it look like it was worth what I want to pay for it? So says Gemara, Imeahi, if not for the chiddush of Rav Yosef, I would not have relied relied on the Mishnah and the Erechin alone, that Bezin that sells without Achraz is considered a Tov Dvar Mishnah, because Hava Amina, Hani Mili Shliach. I would have assumed that when the Mishnah and Arachin says that you need Achraza, that's when Bezin appoints a Shliach to sell the Karka. Aval Bezin Lo, but when the Bezin themselves sell the Karka, I would think that it's not called the Tov Dvar Mishnah. So Kamash Malan, I would think that it does not require Achraza. So Kamash Malan, that's where Rav Yosef is telling me that even when Bezin themselves sell the Karka, it requires Achraza, and failure to do so is a Tov Dvar Mishnah. So Esrei Ravashi Lameimar, Ravashi challenges from our Mishnah, it says in our Mishnah, Shum Hadayanim, that if Beis Din assesses the Karka, Shepach Shusos, so is Sirush Shusos, and they're off by a sixth or more Mechron Batel, Tanakama holds the Mechor is Batel, well, Hashava B'Shava, the implication is that if Beis Din did not make a mistake in the actual value of the Karka, Mechron Kayim, then the sale will be binding. Well, my love, Dolo Achraz, isn't that talking about a case where they didn't do a Hachraza, and then as long as they're on target, the sale is binding? So it says, no, B'Dachraz, who says that they didn't do Achraza? It's talking about where they did a Hachraza. If they didn't do Achraza, the sale is batel. Says Mar, really? It's talking about where they did a Achraza? But I mean, Seva B'Dachraz, I mean, Reisha B'Dachraz. If the Seva is talking about a case where they did a Achraza, the Reisha must be talking about a case where they didn't do a Achraza. The Seva says, Im Asu Igeres Bikores, if they did a Achraza, that's first introduced in the Seva. Then, Afilu Machrashav Manu Masayim, Mashav Masayim, Manu Mechron Kayim. Then, even if they make a mistake, the Mechor is going to be Kayim. But in the Reisha, must be talking about that they didn't do Achraza, and as long as the price was correct, the sale is going to be binding. So isn't that a kash on what Amemar said? Amemar said that if Bezin fails to do Achraza, the sale is batel. Three answers. Eliyolim b'delo Achraz. Really, the Reisha, you're right. It's talking about that they didn't do Achraza. Velo kasha. Still, it's not a kasha. Kan b'dvarm shemachriz naleim. The safest talking about with things that Bezin should be machriz. The Reish is talking about where Beis Din is selling things that don't require Achraza, and therefore if they made a mistake, the Mechor is going to be batel. But if they didn't make a mistake, the Mechor is going to be Kayam, because there was no need for Achraza. What kinds of things do you not need to do Achraza on? Havadim, Mametaltlin, Vashtaros. When Beis Din is selling any of those three things, they don't have to be Machriz Barabim, because Havadim, Taim Amai. Why is it they don't have to be Machriz and Havadim? Shami Yishmu, V'Yivrchu, because the Havadim are going to hear that they're for sale and they're going to run away. They're not going to like an uncertain future. Metaltim Ushtaros, and when Beis Din is selling Metaltim Ushtaros of Yisomim, Shami Yiganvu, we're afraid that everyone's going to come check it out and look at it, and these are items that could be stolen. So if Beis Din is Machriz, it's more likely to be stolen. A second answer, V by Yisema, why is it that in the Reisha, the Mechor is not Batel, even though they didn't do Achraza? Kan Bisho'a Shemachrizin, in the Sefer, it's that Beis Din is selling Karka when at the time that they're Machriz, you could wait 30 days until you sell it. Kan b'shashem machrizin. Whereas the Reish is talking about those situations where you don't have time to do a hachraza because you're pressed to make the sale as soon as you possibly can. Dami nardoy, because nardoy they taught lekarga lemazone lekvura mizabdinim b'lo hachrazda. If you need to pay the tax right now, or you need to provide the almana with food right now, or you need to do a kvura right now, you can't leave the person unburied for 30 days while you're doing a hachraza. So that's why the sale is going to be binding even without Achraza. V'ibay say my third answer, kan b'makom shemachrizin, that the safest one about a case of Beis Din, it's in a place where Beis Din typically does Achraza, and therefore failure to do so will be mevatel mekach. Kan b'makom shein machrizin, the Reish is talking about in a place where Beis Din does not normally do Achraza, like Naharda. Domer of Nachum Yom, Lasu Yigaris Bikaris B'Naharda, they just didn't do Achraza in Naharda, so that's not called the Tav B'Dvar Mishnah. So Savar Mina Mishum Debeki B'Shuma, we thought that the reason the minog was that they didn't do Achraza in Nardaz, because they were such experts in assessing property. So no, the reason they didn't do Achraz in Nardaz is the svar we said much earlier, that no one wanted to have a reputation of the person who swoops in and buys properties of Yisomim when they're desperate and they need to offload these properties of Yisomim. So if they do big Achraz and then these people swoop in and buy it, it's going to be terrible for their reputation. We sell right away as soon as the father dies. We don't wait for the Yom HaShuk to get a better price. No, we wait for the Yom HaShuk. They're not really arguing. Had the mikrav shuka, had the merchak shuka. It depends whether the yom hashuk is soon coming, then you wait, or if it's very far off in the distance, then you don't wait. Two stories to conclude. Rav Kana avu biyadi shichra. Rav Mesharshir bar Chilkai yasma. Rav Kana had beer that belonged to Rav Mesharshir bar Chilkai, who was a yasom. He must not have been Rav Mesharshir yet, but eventually he grew up to be Rav Mesharshir. At this point, he was a kid. Shayad rigla. He waited until the regel. Daf yomi coincidence. He waited until the regel. Omar avlgav de nafel be itzatzta. Even though it could be that the beer is going to turn sour, maisi zuz harifa. That if you sell it around the regel time when there's high demand, you'll get better money for it. So it's worthwhile taking that risk. Ravina avabiyadei chamra de Ravina zuti yasma. Ravina had wine that belonged to Ravina zuti, who was a yasom, barachte, his nephew. Havadei nami chamra. He also had his own wine. So what was he doing with his own wine? Avakamasakle the sichra. He was bringing his wine on a boat to a place called Sichra to sell it there because he thought he'd get the best price over there. Also, Ravashi, Amalei Malam Tuya Ba'adan. So he asked Ravashi, it's risky to bring wine on a boat. It could spoil the boat, it could sink. Am I allowed to put the Yisomim's wine on the same boat to get the same? This is what I would do with my own stuff. Can I do the same for the Yisom? Can I take such a risk with Nichsei Yisomim? Amalei Zia Lo Adav Mididach. No problem. You don't have to treat them more carefully than you treat your own stuff, which is not a halachic statement. It means in that case, he didn't have to be less, more cautious with their stuff. Generally speaking, you actually do have to be more cautious with Nichsei Yisomim than, you could be as risky as you want with your own money, but you have to be obviously a lot more cautious with Nichsei Yisomim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah. Have a good Shabbos and a good Mayan, everybody.